You're with SBS Radio.
I think there is some inconsistency there. I think there's a contradiction between the need for us to prepare our medical system for the very likely onslaught and great wave of patients with severe COVID-related illness. But at the same point of view, a two-week shutdown is not going to prevent those patients from turning up. What we're trying to do more than anything else is delay and slow their presentation so the health systems can get ready. There are many, many hospitals in both Melbourne and Sydney, which are a couple of our two hardest hit capital cities, that are still struggling for their staff to be trained ready with enough access to personal protective equipment and having appropriate protocols for how they deal with the inevitable presentation of COVID patients. And we know when health systems are not prepared, as has happened in Italy and as happened early in China, that healthcare workers have a disproportionately greater number of infections and also get disproportionately greater and more severe disease. And the problem will be not only will there be a great demand on the health system, but there are going to be far fewer doctors and nurses and all the other roles in a hospital that keep people safe and treat them when they're completely unwell.
Yet you're a signatory to a letter calling for a shutdown. So what's your personal position? Should Australia be shutting down its cities?
So I'm certainly not a public health expert and neither am I an epidemiologist. But like everybody, I can see the maths and I can see that the number of cases in Australia have been doubling roughly every 3 days. And we also know that it takes a significant amount of time for somebody, when they first have their symptoms, until they present at the hospital. So the Chinese data suggests that that's around about 8 days. So what that means is when the first person presents to a hospital with severe critical illness and needs to be admitted to ICU, there are already going to be a disproportionately greater, almost an order of magnitude greater number of people in the community that have already started down that path. So if, as the federal government seems to be signalling, they're going to wait until we see a big surge in cases presenting in our hospitals, what they're setting themselves up for is an inevitable order of magnitude greater number of critically ill patients that will be presenting somewhere between a week or 2 weeks later. Having a shutdown helping to dramatically curtail the spread of this no doubt deadly disease in the community gives every hospital in the country a chance to prepare. It allows us to make sure that we've got enough personal protective equipment, that we have enough empty beds, that we have enough ICU beds, that we have enough ventilators available in these hospitals so that we can save as many Australians as possible. I'm sure many people have already seen the tragedy, like the sheer humanitarian crisis that has happened in Italy, particularly northern Italy, where like my Italian colleagues, intensivists, anaesthetists are having to make life and death decisions about who they treat and who they don't. Literally in Italy, there are situations where you can be a 60-year-old man without any medical problems, but with COVID pneumonia, and there are not enough beds that all you get now, you don't even get a phone call from the intensivist being answered. You have another doctor put you in a corner with some oxygen and give you a few kind words because there is not an ICU ventilator for you. And that's because the health system is overwhelmed. And we will head towards the same thing if we don't prepare for this.
Did we also receive another inconsistent message in that they ruled out school closures for now? Yet in the case of aged care, they made this point. They said, we don't want anyone under the age of 16 years visiting people in aged care homes because young people can transmit COVID-19 asymptomatically. So if they can do it in aged care homes, presumably they can do it in schools too.
Yeah, there's certainly some debate around whether or not school closures are beneficial or not. I think that there's probably more good than harm to come of them. But again, I'm not an epidemiologist and I'm not a public health expert. I have, however, already taken my children out of school. They're currently being homeschooled by us because my wife and I are both medical specialists and we need to do our best to not or to delay when we might be infected with this disease so that we don't transmit it to our vulnerable patients. There's certainly going to be lots of questions, lots of complexity if children can't be safely looked after at home if their schools are closed, and it is going to cause huge amounts of disruption, economic and otherwise. But I think you could also argue that the level of disruption from school closures is probably going to be far, far smaller than literally thousands in our community dying because they can't get medical care. And that's really what this comes down to. There's this hesitancy, this reluctance to overreact. Now, we might overreact. In 6 weeks' time, I would love nothing more than everybody laughing at me because I look like I was panicking. But this is deadly serious. If we are correct, the consequences is going to be a disaster, an order of magnitude greater than any sort of disruption that we might cause ourselves by having school closures or more enforced social distancing. We have a time to act now. There's not time for the government or for our public health authorities to wait and vacillate over whether or not they're making the right decision. We have to go hard, we have to go early, and we have to go now.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.